Alright, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, American Airline pilots over New Mexico spotted a long cylindrical UFO, quote, moving really fast while flying near Clayton, New Mexico last week. One of the pilots reported that it resembled a cruise missile, not a totally wild possibility since the White Sands missile range is not that far away from there, but it is unlikely that a missile test could have ventured into commercial airspace. Air traffic officials later told the news that their radar didn't pick up anything in the area. A woman in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, discovered a strange piece of writing written on rice paper tucked away in a box last week. She'd received it 40 years ago from her mother-in-law, who in turn received it from her own mother, but had no other information and kind of forgot about it. When she reached out to a local college, the mystery deepened as all they were able to tell her was that the writing, quote, might be Indonesian. At the time of this reporting, the woman is eagerly waiting responses from any other experts in the field. QAnon followers are now declaring that Donald Trump will be sworn in on March 4th, which is the original date of swearing in for U.S. presidents before the 20th Amendment changed it in 1933. Said followers believe that this amendment is illegal somehow. The last drop from Q himself, who is speculated to possibly be a conspiracy theorist named Paul Ferber or maybe Jim Watkins, the owner of 8kun, was on December 8th, 2020, and featured a pro-Trump video with the soundtrack We're Not Gonna Take It by Twisted Sister. Back to you, Chauncey.
The woman with the writing on the rice paper, you know, this is, we were talking a couple weeks back about missing people and unexplained mysteries, and they always make me think of, like, you know, these great beginnings to horror and fantasy, and this is like a great beginning where it turns out that that note, if you burn it, you know, the Kraken will rise or something.
Exactly.
I'm really looking forward to burning that note, I guess.
In a few weeks, there's going to be a follow-up or something. This was only posted in, like, local news, so, because this woman didn't reach out to the New York Times or whatever. She reached out to a local news outlet, but I'm sure she'll get her answers, and there will be a follow-up story, and it'll probably be disappointing. But I hope it isn't. I like to dwell in this space where it is right now, where it's just, I have mysterious... To me, it looks like Elvish. It looks like Tolkien. It looks like Elvish.
It's going on or something.
Right. Well, she got it from her mother-in-law, who got it from her mother, so...
Okay, we're looking at about 100 years ago for Lord of the Rings.
Years old. Right, so, yeah, so this would even predate Tolkien, I guess.
This is like the proto-nerd, like before nerddom was like real, this was like the... We should all be worshiping this woman if that's the case, you know?
Oh, God. Just the first Gary Gygax who found no success whatsoever.
Right, right. Oh, she was before her time. If only she'd come out in 1975 like D&D did, you know?
Wait, was it really 1975?
It was the 70s.
Okay, I always thought... No, I guess the 80s was the moral panic over D&D, which...
D&D had quite a few iterations before it became the large thing that we know of.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we need a D&D historian on here, too.
We do.
We need, like, a phone-a-friend, you know? We need to be so important that I can be, oh, well, let me call up my D&D reference.
But you know who I want to talk to? I want to talk to someone who still thinks that D&D... is like the work of Satan.
Yeah.
In 2021. I want to find someone like that and I want to talk to them.
Yeah. Like, you know, like whoever those kids are that grew up that were in a circle like at school in like 1986, you know, throwing their MC Hammer tapes in a pile and stomping them so that they didn't deal with the this stuff really went on, you know. And my aunt-in-law, you know, thought Pokemon was, like, potentially satanic. at first.
Oh my god, you know. Incredible. Ugh. I don't expect that this conversation would be at all edifying.
No.
But it would be funny.
Totally. Man, I just want to know why. It's like, what makes you think that, you know, having an imagination equates to, I mean, even, you know, let's take out that God and the devil might not exist. Let's just say that they do. But I mean, like, God gave you an imagination and somehow using it is bad. I'm not getting
it. Well, you know, some of these people are really raised in, you know, fire and brimstone, do not deviate outside the norm, lest ye be smited, kind of.
Yeah. I think that's out there.
I think it's easy to forget for people who are just raised, like most people who are religious in this country, in the world, really, are raised in pretty chill religious environments.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to, like, identify or realize that extremists are there because they seem normal from the outside.
And then our final story, I will start with a story. Yesterday, I was driving to get Subway protein bowls that we decided that we were going to try out. Let me tell you, if you get Subway salads and you think, man, this Subway salad would be extra good if it cost a little more and just came with less lettuce, that's a protein bowl. Good luck. But on the car ride there, I'm listening to, you know, talk radio like I tend to, and it's Trump at the CPAC thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going off. He's just all, they're all saying, I'm going to start a third party. So, you know, let me tell them that the Republican Party is going to blaze trails in the future, and I'm not starting a third party. And I got out of the car thinking, well, he's starting a third party. You know, it's like, because he said he wasn't, which means he probably is, you know.
See, I don't know, because if he wants to run in the primary in 2024, it's very difficult to think of anyone who could beat him. Like, he is still just as popular.
What about Lil Marco? Get Lil Marco up in there.
The Republican bait, these people are ride or die for Trump. Like, there's no...
Yeah.
So they like politicians who are like Trump, but less so because they are not actually Trump. Right. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go with Trump light, or are they just going to go with Trump again? I think they're just going to go with Trump again. But if he's still alive, I mean, he is old. But
I do have to throw in, I've never thought of being a fan of Trump as being cool until you said that these people are ride or die for Trump. And then I'm just all like, eh, I don't know. That sounded kind of cool.
I mean, if all it takes is to be cool is to have, like, the rock and roll, hey, I'm not doing what you tell me attitude. Yeah, that's Trump supporters have that. They're complete idiots, but they do have fair. That.
And yes, that is all it takes if you're a rock and roller. Okay. Like,
well,
I
then
am,
in
for
fact,
my generation,
they are cool.
I'm changing. I'm voting for Trump now.
I don't think.
Can we still be friends on Facebook?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't think that's all it takes, because I don't think it is very rock and roll to be racist.
That's true.
I think, you know, there are other components of being rock and roll other than just being reflexively angry at any authority figure you encounter, except for the frickin', you know, fascist billionaire guy who they like.
Oh, yeah. Real rock and rollers from the 20s through the 60s were hanging out with the most likely minority band and smoking marijuana cigarettes.
There you go.
You know. Here's my other funny story before we cut out of here. My cousin Nate and I lived with my aunt and uncle at one point, and we would smoke cigarettes and leave them all out around the hot tub because we were young and rude. And my uncle finally came up, and he's just all like, I'm finding a lot of butts around the hot tub, and he's all, and I don't know if you guys are smoking cigarettes or emptying them out and filling them with marijuana, but I would like you guys to pick them up. And we're all, emptying it out, filling them with marijuana? Like, is that
amazing?
Is that a thing? I didn't even know we could do that. We tried. It didn't work. But.
What a square.
All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're talking about mysteries of the nuclear kind. We'll be right back.
to Drip. Now open at 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today. 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link. ACA,
come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower. And we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing. So keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Tonight, Kara and I, we are discussing nuclear missiles. All right, let's get into our story. We're going to cover three nuclear stories here today. Number one is from NPR.org. There are still around 650 missing Nazi uranium cubes, completely unaccounted for. At the time of Hitler's rise, Germany was actually at the cutting edge of nuclear technology. Nuclear fission was discovered in Berlin in late 1938. They were the first team of people who figured out how to split the atom and figured out that when you split the atom, a lot of energy was going to be released. But back in World War II, it was all theoretical to find out how this could work. The Germans devised a strange-looking experiment with a bunch of cubes hanging from what looked like a chandelier. The chandelier was dipped into a cylindrical tank of heavy water, which contained special isotopes of hydrogen that make it more conductive to nuclear reactions. The setup was known as the B-8 reactor. The Germans were experimenting with it inside a cave in southern town of German Place. They were still trying to get it to work when the Allied invasion began. As Allied forces approached, the German scientists disassembled the reactor and buried the cubes in a field. Although the Nazi scientists quickly disclosed the location of the buried cubes to the Allies, It's not entirely clear what happened to all the cubes here once we had them, and it's assumed that maybe they were put into our own nuclear arsenal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hope that's what happened, and they're not just in a German farmhouse somewhere.
Well, you know, what this really makes me think of is all the speculation that went into German technology.
Sure.
You know, because we're, you know, into the mysterious and the conspiracy here, you know, that whole era of German technology, you know, what we do know is that we were at a race to get the nuclear bomb with Germany. And, you know, they were literally months out and they could have beat us to the bomb. And pretty much the bomb is what made the world surrender, was the fact that we had it and we used it.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, fear is a great motivator, you know?
Yeah. Well, at that point, it was only Japan, you know? Germany was already done for. So, really, it's the bomb that made Japan surrender.
Yeah, but I also think it made a lot of people stand down.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think. Yeah. It's not like the conflict between, you know, us and the USSR was over at the end of World War II. It was just like, okay, everyone take a pause. This is getting crazy.
Right. If anything, you know, ramped up at that point. But it does make me think about what the Germans actually had.
Yeah, there's so many of these conspiracy, you know, there's so many theories about, you know, all the crazy technology the Germans might have had, which is funny because, you know, from a historical standpoint, the Germans were worse at science than most other people at the time. And what I mean by that, and it changed as World War II approached a little bit, because they were ramping up for war, but, like, the theory of relativity, which a crucial component of, like, understanding why E equals MC squared, all of that, a crucial component of understanding nuclear processes, it was the official position of the Nazi Party for a while that was Jewish science and was, you know, bad and evil and wrong. They hated that because, you know, it was too new. You know, they were traditionalists,
and
a lot of stuff like that. You know, there was a lot of like new developments in architecture that Hitler, like, they micromanaged the science and the arts in the Third Reich to a spectacular degree and really just stamped out all innovation.
You know, with the totalitarian,
a lot of these guys went to the United States
and Russia.
And Russia, yeah.
You know, in a totalitarianism, you know, it makes sense to micromanage and control the arts and messaging like that. But I mean, to stop science because it's Jew science is like, well, it's kind of like treating it like a religion when it's really not. So, I mean, here's crazy ass Hitler running to the other side of the planet to get the spear of destiny or whatever the hell they're looking for. Yet they're not willing to do proven mathematical science because it might have come from some Jewish people. I don't know. It seems you deserve to lose the war at that point. Not that you didn't already, but now doubly.
Here's the thing about fascists, and I think this is maybe salient today, I don't know, it might have something. By and large, people who are fascist in the sense of, you know, believing in ethno-nationalist authoritarian ideals are crazy conspiracy loons.
Yeah.
You know? By and large, these people are not terribly with it in terms of engaging with reality. So,
not progressive in keeping up with the changes, and I get that, yeah.
So, yeah, if these guys were smart, they would have done a lot of stuff differently, but if they were smart, they couldn't have taken over Germany, because, you know, this fascism requires a certain amount of anti-intellectualism as an ideology, otherwise it doesn't work.
Well, they did beat us to one invention. I mean, they had the VR rockets.
They were good at rockets. I will give them that. I mean,
old science, right? At that point, that's old.
Well, it's all, you know, based on classical
right.
Newtonian mechanics. The other thing that, like, there's all of this, you know, they, in pop culture, there's this thing, like, who knows what crazy things they learned from, like, the horrible unethical experiments they were doing in the concentration camps. But anyone who studied those experiments knows that they are useless in science. They produce no data because their methodology was sloppy and they weren't studying anything. They were just torturing people and calling it science. And it was all motivated by outdated, crazy racial ideologies. So it was like built on flawed premises and done badly. And so, like, everyone in the field knows nothing useful came out of any of
that.
But in pop culture, there's this idea that something did.
And I guess you're right. But the rockets did, you know, but other than that, you're right. They work sort of like the world forerunner in phrenology or whatever in, like, the world's most useless sciences.
They were, they were very, like, 1870s, 1890s. They were, like, clinging on to 19th century stuff.
Well, that's good for
way
us.
Way the heck into the 30s, yeah. So, no wonder we won.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. Because, to me, dipping cubes, tying cubes to an airplane, and then dipping them in hard water and stuff like that, that seems like alchemy, not science.
Yeah, well, I've no doubt that this invention probably, as you said, they were close. But by that point, they were, like, gearing up for war. So I guess that maybe practicality took the forefront a little bit. And, you know, they weren't unified either, necessarily. You know, there were a lot of factions within the Nazis with a lot of different ideas, and some were more sane than others. You know, they were all horrible, of course.
And, I mean, you know, that's an argument for not being a jerk, because all these Jews with their Jew science were probably not dying to share their Jew science with you anyway.
Well,
so they
that,
came to them and
exactly
they just all,
right.
we want
yeah.
you, and they're just all, what? I don't know nothing, you know? You know?
Or they've left the country by then.
Right, yeah. And I cannot say that I blame them.
Yeah.
You know? And, by the way, anybody out there, I've heard people get weird when I use the word Jew. Jew is fine as long as it's not used as a verb. If you use it as a verb, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
All right. all right. So, you know, not a shocking tale, but an interesting one.
Yeah, I want to know where these things went. I'm concerned.
Me too. All right, so after this break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about an article from History.com. Why have there been so many UFO sightings near nuclear facilities? Something that has been a regular topic in the UFO community for a long time.
Yeah.
And we're going to tackle it next. We're going to solve this in 10 minutes.
Change, Premier, and all we do. The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Pop some popcorn, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to celebrate local filmmakers with the 13th annual Sundial Film Festival. Happening March 6th, the Sundial Film Festival is presented by the Active 2030 Club of Reading. The event has gone virtual this year, so you can enjoy the array of films from the comfort of your own home. It's free to view the Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th at 6 p.m. All you have to do is go to sundialfilmfestival.com and RSVP. The 13th annual Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th online at sundialfilmfestival.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Pop some popcorn, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to celebrate local filmmakers with the 13th annual Sundial Film Festival. Happening March 6th, the Sundial Film Festival is presented by the Active 2030 Club of Reading. The event has gone virtual this year, so you can enjoy the array of films from the comfort of your own home. It's free to view the Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th at 6 p.m. All you have to do is go to sundialfilmfestival.com and RSVP. The 13th annual Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th online at sundialfilmfestival.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Our topic right now, why have there been so many UFO sightings near nuclear facilities? In the last 75 years, high-ranking U.S. military intelligence personnel have reported UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, near sites associated with nuclear power, weaponry, and technology, from the early atomic bomb development and test sites to active nuclear naval fleets. All of the nuclear facilities, Los Alamos, Livermore, Sandia, Savannah River, all had dramatic incidents where these unknown craft appeared over the facilities and nobody knew where they came from or what they were doing there. And that's a quote from investigative journalist George Knapp. And I'm guessing we all know who that is. Coming at you out of the desert like a Scirocco or whatever. That's his introduction on Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Nuclear adjacent sightings go back decades. A UFO researcher and author of U.S. UFOs and Nukes, Robert Hastings, Extraordinary Encounters at Nuclear Weapon Sites. Hastings says he's interviewed more than 160 veterans who've witnessed strange things in the skies around nuclear sites. In 1948, green fireballs were reported in the skies near atomic laboratories in Los Alamos and Sandia, New Mexico. And there are a lot of other ones, too. The Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana and the Bentwaters Rendlesham Forest incident. Mm. Bentwaters housed a secret stash of nuclear weapons in 25 fortified underground bunkers. So, you know, of course, this is a topic that we've dealt with before with a lot of guests.
Sure. Kind of.
But we normally have guests.
Really dug into it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's normally our guests' opinions.
Right.
Now, let's, for the sake of argument, remove skepticism that aliens are even coming here at all and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, what's your take on aliens coming, extraterrestrials, as our last guest corrected me on, coming directly here to nuclear sites? When you hear that, do you kind of scoff at it and say it's odd? Because I have two thoughts on it. One is, it's very obviously tied together because here's one thing we fear, here's another thing we fear. We put them together. All of a sudden, we have an infectious zombie, vampire, werewolf. Of course, we want to shove them together, you know. So it seems like an obvious mix. Mm-hmm. But then the other part of me, you know, has seen enough science fiction to know that maybe people are trying to wrangle us.
Yeah. Okay, so my thought is that I'm skeptical of this, but if we are, like you say, just leaving aside skepticism for a second and saying, you know, there definitely are a higher percentage of UFO sightings near these sites that are, in fact, aliens, then what I'm thinking is that the aliens know something we don't know. Namely, either we're going to destroy ourselves in a nuclear holocaust, or we're missing, like, the massive implications of nuclear power somehow. Like, maybe they're just waiting to see if we crack, you know, cold fusion or whatever.
So it's like First Contact, Star Trek, you know, when we get the warp drive and now the Vulcans are willing to be our buddy?
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, maybe it's some intergalactic regulation, you know, once they have this, once they reach this benchmark, they can talk to us. Or it's a great filter kind of thing and they're waiting to see if we destroy ourselves.
Yeah, I have a third option. So, I went to college back in my 20s, dropped out.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Dropped out. I took basic sociology, which I also dropped out of, but I was in it long enough to know that there are three really rudimentary views of sociology. One is interactionism, the belief that interactions between two people is what changes the world and motivates the world. One is functionalism, the belief that groups of people's interaction is what motivates and changes the world. Okay. And the last one is conflict theorism, the belief that everybody's basically in a battle for resources. And, you know, maybe they just don't want us to mess up something that could be good for them.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, maybe they're like watching us and they're opposed to us using nuclear. because I kind of feel in the world of space travel and in the world of the cosmos, a nuclear explosion, even our largest bomb,
sure,
our largest bomb that we've never blown up, we think will leave a crater a mile wide and just be massive. Sure. But in the cosmic world, I don't imagine that to be so huge. But what it could do is ruin our own planet, and therefore they would say, like, oh, this one's ruined. We can't,
right,
we can't take their stuff no more.
Well, the fallout of a nuclear bomb doesn't last terribly long, though.
Well, nuclear war.
Even with a nuclear war, it doesn't last that long. It, only a couple weeks, really. It can persist in some, you know, sources for longer, but...
What about Chernobyl and these places that are still toxic?
Chernobyl wasn't a nuclear bomb. It was a nuclear reactor that melted down. And
okay,
you've got
so
a
that's...
lot more fissile material there. And oh, it just... I'm not an expert, obviously, but just
well, you're
the
more
way,
of an expert than I am, so lay it on me, sister.
The way the two processes work, just one leaves a lot more radioactivity sitting around.
I get you.
A nuclear bomb doesn't have nuclear waste.
What about fallout and nuclear winter and these things that...
Oh, so nuclear winter
is
a huge problem. But fallout, like I said, is, you know, mostly gone within like 2 weeks. Because the bomb is just packed with enough radioactive particles to have that critical mass so it can
to start
explode.
The chain reaction.
But a nuclear power plant is full of highly radioactive waste, which is not fissile. It's just gunk that's super radioactive and will take hundreds of years to decay.
I see.
And that, you know, there's no reason to pack a bomb full of that unless it's a dirty bomb, in which case the idea is to leave behind fallout, which, of course, would be a horrible catastrophe.
Okay, so I have another motivation. Maybe they want us to nuke each other out so they can come and take the planet.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be a little more proactive, you know, if that's what they wanted to happen. You know, if they have the technology, they could easily just, you know, send an ICBM of their own just from Russia, kickstart this whole thing.
Listen, they only have half the amount of weight. Have you ever seen a big movie? So you got big movies, you got somebody in their makeup, and they're constantly, like, complaining that they've been in the makeup chair for 4, 5, 6 hours. Now, imagine being a reptilian and having to put on human skin in order to, I mean, you know, this is a good 6 hours in the makeup chair before you're even able to try to infiltrate to fire the missile.
It's true. So they're too busy primping to
dealing
about Armageddon, I see.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well, now I have a question. Is this just sightings near nuclear silos, or is it sightings near nuclear power sources, or both?
All of the above. The article even cited naval fleets, like nuclear-powered naval fleets.
Now, that's weird. If this is genuine, there just must be something that we don't know about nuclear power, you know?
Yeah.
There must be some other element to it. Maybe it's just like this is the only weapon we have that could conceivably hurt them. So they're
so
just
they're
like
constantly checking it out to say, okay, well,
yeah,
these
well,
people aren't a threat.
Right. Maybe it's something like we have people on standby, so in case they figure out about a little probing operation and, you know, announce that we're here, we will immediately zap all the nuclear bombs so that they can't hurt us in case things go south, and then we can negotiate.
Did you just refer to the aliens coming here as their little probing operation?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. All right. So, you know, coming up next year, we have a really weird one. We have a couple seconds here. We're going to try to pronounce this. Alyoshenka.
I think that's right.
The Christian dwarf. Alyoshenka, the Christian dwarf. This is a weird one. Come on back. Still nuclear. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. This article is from MysteriesAreUnsolved.com. That's mysteries, the letter R, unsolved.com. And Alyoshenka the Christian Dwarf. Mm-hmm. In 1957, Christian was confronted with the first nuclear disaster in Soviet history. Christian is a town. Plutonium exploded at Mayak, a nearby secret nuclear power station, throwing a 160-ton concrete lid into the air. The nuclear explosion is considered the third most serious nuclear accident in history behind Fukushima and Chernobyl. The region and atmosphere were extremely polluted and became hazardous. Decades later, one day in 1990, Tamara Prosperina found a strange... I do try to read these things ahead of time, but I mean, you know, it's Russian. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's Russian names. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time with my facial expressions.
Found a strange creature in the woods. And 20 years since her death and that of the humanoid, people still argue what it really was. Its name was Alyoshenka. Those who saw Alyoshenka described it as a 20-25 centimeter tall humanoid, brown body, no hair, big protruding eyes, moving its tiny lips, and making squeaky sounds. The Christian dwarf died with no one to feed him when Tamara was in the psychiatric hospital. That's terrible. A morbid anatomist who performed an autopsy on the body of the dwarf in a local hospital. He was the first to claim that the creature was a non-human being. The human skull consists of six bones. The skull of that creature was made up of four bones, he said. The body of the dwarf was reportedly stolen and is still missing. The old woman who actually named the dwarf died when a car hit her. She had been dancing on the highway.
Yeah.
The local gynecologist claimed that it was just a child with terrible deformations, and there were other differences in the skeletal structure. Those anomalies didn't look like any congenital malformities known to date. DNA from the cloth the creature had been kept was analyzed by a Moscow-based Institute of Forensic Medicine. a gene discovered in the DNA samples doesn't correspond with any genes pertaining to humans or anthropoid apes. No gene samples available at the laboratory match the gene. The experts in DNA research haven't come across any creature with such an elongated DNA molecule. So, nuclear aliens or
nuclear deformed baby?
It's alive. Yeah, basically, yeah. It's alive. You ever see that movie, It's Alive?
No.
About the monster baby?
And then, like Eraserhead?
Yeah, only imagine Eraserhead told by the people who wrote and directed Piranha from 1979. It's just terrible.
Okay.
Just terrible, but still great. Still great. Yeah. Like Basket Case. Right. I don't know. I need more horror friends, Kara.
I'm sorry. I can't keep up. I'm not on your level. No one's on your level.
No one's on your level.
It's lonely at the top, Chauncey.
This is another one that sparks my imagination, especially being a horror fan and, you know, all the horror movies about freaky inbred babies and freaky inbred families, The Hills Have Eyes, Wrong Turn, all this stuff. That one great episode of The X-Files that was banned for a while with the inbred family in the cabin. You know, this is something that has actually, I don't want to say piqued my interest, but piqued my imagination.
Awakened something in you.
Yeah, yeah.
To say it in the most creepy and horrible way possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
It's a lit fire.
But I don't know. What do you think of these? So if this is the case, you know, we have to weigh, like, how random hardcore mutation is in nature to how much of this has gone on since, let's say, 1948, 1938, if we need to go all the way back to the Nazis messing with it, like we were talking about earlier. Yeah. You know,
would we have
seen more than one of these if it was a mutation?
I don't know that there's been a whole lot of, like, really hardcore nuclear accidents in human history. And the ones that there were, mostly in Soviet Russia, who did not have the best engineering knowledge or safety standards.
Yeah, Fukushima's too recent.
Yeah, and, well, Fukushima, like, their much better knowledge of, like, how to contain stuff in
Right, because it's so recent. Know. Chernobyl was 86, yeah. This one was 57, so...
Right. At that point, you know, people still... kind of seeing radiation as magic, pretty much. And it's Soviet Russia, not generally a place... Soviet Russia in 57, not known for being high standards of living or particularly forthcoming to the West. So I'm feeling like it's possible there could have been lots of these cases we just didn't hear about. Like, this thing was found in the woods.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. This article is from... MysteriesAreUnsolved.com. That's mysteries, the letter R, unsolved.com. And Alyoshenka the Christian Dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
In 1957, Christian was confronted with the first nuclear disaster in Soviet history. Christian is a town. Plutonium exploded at Mayak, a nearby secret nuclear power station, throwing a 160-ton concrete lid into the air. The nuclear explosion is considered the third most serious nuclear accident in history behind Fukushima and Chernobyl. The region and atmosphere were extremely polluted and became hazardous. Decades later, one day in 1990, Tamara Prosperina found a strange... I do try to read these things ahead of time, but I mean, you know, it's Russian. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's Russian names. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time with my facial expressions.
Found a strange creature in the woods. A 20... And 20 years since her death and that of the humanoid, people still argue what it really was.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.